Well, Rishi, I thought first of all that I would compare today, Croke Park of today, and with the facilities that were there in the GAA when you and I were growing up many golden years ago. And I encapsulated this in a little poem that I wrote called Dina Le Dia. And Dina Le Dia is a person with a mental handicap in Irish. It's a euphemism for saying a person who has a mental handicap. It means a person with God. And it's a beautiful way of saying that in the Gaelic tongue. So this little poem called Dina Le Dia expresses the way the GAA has come on in a way, and the empathy that a person would feel, and you, as a person who worked with them for so long, could empathise with as well. Dina Le Dia. Standing on top of a roadside ditch outside the country sports field, a juvenile sentry heralds the town football team's arrival with the cry, "The Listall boys have landed!" As if we had descended from the moon, splashing into the blue Pacific in a space capsule. No dressing rooms or sissy showers for us. We laid our clothes beside the furzy fence and hoped it wouldn't rain. In collective training for the county team, we togged out in a mental hospital beside Fitzgerald Stadium. That first day, walking towards the pitch, he waylaid me, inquiring anxiously if I thought the shock treatment was doing him any good. I dodged his query, cagily football cogging down the terrace steps which he had helped construct as occupational therapy, improve facilities for cheering thousands on monster final days. Diverting his attention to the low-flying plane above our heads, I asked him if he had a wish to fly. Kerry man to the core, his answer another question startling in its lucidity. Is it me to go up in that thing, an unsupported body of metal and steel? A pity Payne Stewart or Jim Reeves were not as discerning in their choice of transport. As a monster man, I suppose there are two big days in the GA calendar every year which we look forward to. The Munster football final in Killarney, if we can get it, and Kerry and Cork, if we can get it, and the Munster hurling final in Thurles, if we can get it. And I think these two special venues have a special appeal to all Munster followers of the GAA, and I have a very soft spot for hurling. I played hurling for Kerry Minor, hurling 2 years, and I played senior county championship hurling when I was 15. I remember back in Ballyhorlan and Lixnaw. But I would prefer to watch a hurling match really than a football match, because I think it's an art form. So this poem encapsulates the feelings at a Munster hurling final, especially I'm thinking of in Thurles. The Munster final. By meadows lush, the fuchsia bush sheds tears of blood red down. Handcrafted ashen sweet sounds clash o'er countryside and town. It's Munster final time again. Two teams line out to play, whichever side gains victory. Let hurling win the day. The atmosphere before the game I savour in the sun, the banter and the balladeer, the busker pecker dun. I amble to the stadium, sup a pint along the way, while hoping in my heart of hearts that hurling wins the day. Cuchulainn played this ancient game in bygone days of yore, his prowess now remembered, making pulses race once more. How proud they stand, in colours grand, tense, ready for the fray. The ball is in, the game is on, let hurling win the day. In beauty's home, Killarney, our colours floating free, in Limerick town and Thurles, in Cork beside the lee, we're there each year to clap and cheer, to shout a loud hooray. Whoever wins, we'll come again, while hurling wins the day. Our on the Vian I rise to hear, our anthem sung by all. I face our flag remembering the stars of the come on, who thrilled me in my boyhood days before my head was grey. Caring not who won or lost, once hurling won the day. Jack Lynch, Mick Mackey, Jimmy Smith, they made the Schlitter sing, Cheasty Liam Devaney, but best of all was Ring. The memory green of those I've seen will never fade away, they all ensured while life endured that hurling won the day. Another monster final played. The cheers have all died down. Cars, buses, trains, dispersing now once more from Furless Town. A chirpy traveller chap looks up at me to say, "Who won?" "I'll tell you now, my boy," I said. "'Twas hurling won the day." Well, when we look back on our youth, it is with a certain amount of nostalgia. And this is a poem by my late father, Brian McMahon, called The Old Kerry Footballer. The glasses are filled and raised of comrades of my prime are here, here to recapture the bygone days, those times of emotional cheer. I stand to honour the toast that speaks for the living and dead. I set the glass up to my lips when I bow my badgery head. I'm the stamp of an old hunter let out on a field of grass, watching the altering shadows as the high clouds scurrying pass. But whenever the horn is sounded over hill and through furzy glen, I'm possessed by a youthful frenzy. I'm back, a young man once again. Oh, that was the time, surely. I was stalwart and strong and tall, as clad in a Kerry gansey, I leaped for a flying ball. Yes, that was the time now remembered, when of steel seemed my heart and hand, and my name was lipped by thousands, the length and breadth of our land. We stripped by frozen ditches in the dark of winter time, till we glittered like bacon flitches with the snow and the hoary rime, and we played upon boggy hillsides against the gale from the north and west, for we cherished but one ambition, to prove that Kerry was best. There was many the hour in that time long ago when it seemed that our game was lost, when the friendly foes overran us with the force of a mighty host, but again to triumph we rallied in our colours of gold and green. For when Kerry seems all but vanquished, it's then that our courage is seen. Aye, and we treasured our ancient language. It's gone nigh to the Laura Marie, or the Higgamer Nat and Duchish, it's unspirited and snuffarry of thee. Ha! They maybe made jokes at our accents. Let them laugh and guffaw once again. But we proved when the fray was fiercest that the kingdom of Kerry bred men. And into these headlands outthrusting, above the spume and the foam, into each lime-white cottage, amid the rocks we call home, I serve to breathe a spirit that lives on each broken hill. For the pulse of my heart is Kerry, and I love her still. And now rigid limbs bell in answer to the Croke Park's thunderous cheer, born from Dublin's fair city to fill Ireland from Mallon to Clear. Unbowed now I raise up my badgery head, not in grief nor in sadness grey, but rather in pride to whisper, I had my day, yes, I had my day. Well, we're a great county in Kerry for races. We have Tralee and Listowel and Killarney, and down a bit the scale we have pony racing, and I'm very fond of all kinds of equine racing, ponies, pint to pints, and inside the rails, as they say. So this is a little poem I wrote about dingle races. That is a very good flap every year. Dingle races. Each year we make the long haul from Ballymoney to Kirkagreena for the flap. We bring a pony, maybe two, sharing a horse box with Willie McElhone, a loyal Ulster Orange man, who makes no objection, however, when mother produces the bottle of Lourdes water, wets her thumb and traces the sign of the cross on equine rumps and withers, Catholic and Protestant. Bookies calling, babies bawling, tannay blaring, horses rearing, owners skulking, children sulking, porter for the masses in plastic glasses. Please help the blind, sir, it's the lady you have to find, sir. 12-1, the harp, crown or feather, number 49 and a blue ticket. I'm robbed, I'm robbed, I'm robbed. Sometimes the holy water does the trick. Our pony gets up on the line. From our vantage point on the hill, whooping northern neighbours join the stampede to the hand-clapping, back-slapping, loud-laughing, photographing winner's enclosure. We'll warm our hands at the fire of this memory on dark, fear-filled nights in the winter months ahead. Next year, God willing, the first week in August, see us hoist our sails again, heading south to feel liberating Atlantic Gulf Stream breezes blowing in our faces. Now, I've done a poem about Dingle Races for you, and this is a ballad about Dingle Races. I'll just sing the first verse of it, and I'll recite the rest of it. But again, it's self-explanatory, really. It's called The Races of Dingle, and if you try to get words to rhyme with Dingle, this is a perfect example of how to get them. 'Tis the first week in August, now autumn draws near. Though my years they are telling of death, I've no fear. I'm heading back west with all neighbours to mingle and to greet long-lost friends and the races of Dingle. You'll meet film stars, hucksters, purveyors of tall tales from Boston, Buncrana, from England and Wales. With sporran and kilt, a proud Scot came from Pringle to lead in a winner at the races of Dingle. I was 12 years of age when I rode the grey mare at Ballyhuntoggart for a farmer from Clare. Not a wreck in my pocket to jangle or jingle, yet as happy as Larry at the races of Dingle. When Lindbergh looked down on that beautiful bay on his lone flight to Paris from America, his heart missed the beat and his pulse went to tingle. I'll be back soon, says he, for the races of Dingle. A celibate dolphin called Fungi swims nigh. There'd be fierce consternation if he said goodbye. Destined, I know, to be pure, chaste and single, for fear he'd miss out on the races of Dingle. So I'll say in conclusion, come merry mead be o, when my time comes, I hope up above I will go. The sound of the hooves beside ocean and shingle will be heaven to me and the races of Dingle. To get away from our own county for a change, I'd like to sing a little song about a very famous footballer called P.J. Duke, who died very tragically. He played in the Polo Grounds in New York in 1947 for Cavan, and he was a medical student, and he died very shortly afterwards at a very young age, still only a medical student, and was written by Padraig Purcell, who used to write for the Irish Press years ago. It's called The Champion from Sweet Stradone. As I was walking through Dublin City on a pleasant morning in the month of May, near Stephen's Green there I met a young man with tear-dimmed eyes, who to me did say, "This morning early, ere buns were singing, our mass bells ringing with vibrant tone, to his great promise the Lord took from us our peerless champion from Sweet Stradone. There's a banshee keening by Breffni's waters beyond Loch Sheelan in the morning wine. By lake and river the rushes quiver in silent sorrow for one young and kind. The dawn was glowing, but our tears were flowing as we watched him going where God calls his own. 'Twas so we parted, I'm broken hearted, for our peerless champion from sweet Stradone. Oh, nevermore will I tread the green sward of Broadcroke Park, but I'll see him still. His manly bearing, his brilliant fielding, and redhead flaring in the battle thrill. New stars may rising, the hills before us, but in our eyes none will him dethrone. The boy from Breffni, the pride of Belfield, God rest you, PJ, in Fanstradone. Many years ago, Donegal Dooling of RT rang me to know would I go to Clyne to sing my late father's song for Christy Ring at Christy's house in Clyne. And it was the depths of winter. He was doing a television programme, and it was the depths of winter, and I was anything but anxious to go on the road, but I did anyway, and went down and went to Clyne, met Christy, and below in Clyne, the hurler, and was introduced to him, and he said, "Come in here to me." And we spoke, and he took me out to the back and showed me where he played and practiced. He said, "We trained in there," he said, "before mass and after mass." He said, "I'm telling you, we were so fit, there isn't a man in Ireland in mind you when you come out of it." I said to myself, "There isn't a man in Ireland in mind you." But anyway, that was it. I did the song. And about 2 weeks or 3 weeks later, at the most, I went to my door, there was the bell rang, and outside was Donegal Dooling, and he said, "Give me a glass of whiskey, quick." "What's wrong with you?" I said. "Ringy is after dying," he says, "and after hearing it on the radio." This was just bare 3 weeks after this recording was made, and the programme hadn't even gone out. So they rushed it together, the programme, and the song went out as a tribute, as part of the tribute to Ringy. It's a song for Christy Ring, the greatest hurler of them all, there is no doubt about it. Come gather round me boys tonight, and raise your glasses high. Come Rockies bars and Rover stars, let welcome hit the sky. Let bonfires blaze in heroes' praise, let Shandon's echoes fling. For homeward bound with hurling crown, comes Cork's own Christy Ring. So all you hurlers from the north, you lads from Corribside, from Garry on both gay and bold, with tips on men beside, you may have hurlers straight and tall, who can come on swing, but who's the name to play the game with Cork's own Christy Ring? When we were young, we read in school how in the days of old the young Satanta showed his worth with spear and shield of gold. While holding hard on royal sword, he'd Reynold Ranch heroes fling. My soul today he'd yield in sway, had he met Christy Ring. How oft I've watched him in Croke Park, move here and there with grace, in Cork, Killarney, Thurlestown, or by the Shannon's race. Now Cork is bet, the hay is saved, the thousands wildly sing. Ah, they speak too soon, my sweet garçon, for here comes Christy Ring. Though death has claimed this warrior bold, and ended now the fight, still o'er the fire we still admire his stick and trophies bright. Come counties all, both great and small, who boast a hurling king. Can one tonight, all candlelight, to Cork's own Christie ring? As you say yourself, Wishy, no doubt at all about it, but one of the fantastic characters of Kerry football was Paddy Bond Brosnan. And I knew Paddy for a long number of years, and he was a selector on teams that I played on. And he was a legend, really, in his own lifetime. He was a footballer, fisherman, and a golfer, strangely enough. Like, he had a great affinity for golf, and came back in his late 60s or early 70s to win a President's Prize in Count Shebale Golf Club. But on a Munster final day, I was travelling from Dingle to Killarney, and we heard the word came through that Paddy Bond was dead. And of course the thoughts were rolling around in my mind all day long. And when I was coming back from the match, back to Dingle again, my son was with me, my son Rossa, and I dictated this song as I came along in the car. And by the time I got home, it was nearly written, and I had it finished in a half an hour after that. And it's a lament for Paddy Bond.
Bond is dead, the sad news spread like wildfire through the throng. As to Fitzgerald Stadium, my way I made along. For rebel Cork and Kerry now, the battle lines are drawn, and the tricolour flies at half-mast far, our peerless Paddy Bond. McGillicuddy's weak stand proud, overlooking Killarney town. Far above the crowd, from the darkening clouds, the rain falls softly down. The Kerry mist, it gently kissed the antlered stag and fawn. As nature joined in mourning for our peerless Paddy Bond. From 36 to 52 he graced the green and golden, and children at their parents' knees heard his mighty deeds extol. A vice-like grip of leather, a full back with brains and brawn, we will never see likes again, our peerless Paddy Bond. The forwards feared him on the ground, and likewise in the air. As the surging tide, he kept outside his goal man and the square. His boat and gear at Dingle Pier stand silent in the dawn. No more will his trawler be skippered by our peerless Paddy Bond. No more he'll tell of the angry swell as he rounded on Blasquaid Moor, nor watch the gannet spiralling, nor hear the Atlantic roar, nor fish for silver herring, nor seek the golden prawn. And the seabirds cry in the kingdom sky, for our peerless Pettibon. May the Kerry sod that you loved so well rest lightly upon your breast, as you lie in Gatineau, Lord, with comrades you love best. At full time's call, we'll play football when we meet on God's green lawn. And the man who will lead us around the field will be peerless Pettibon.
Now, we've had all kinds of sports in Kerry, as you know, Weishi, and we had great wrestlers. We had the Caseys of Sneem, and this is a song, I won't sing it, I'll just recite it, called Steve Casey from Sneem, which was made up by my late father, Brian McMahon, when Steve was in the height of his glory. And anybody who wants to sing it afterwards, they can do it to the air of the stone outside Dan Murphy's door. The boys of the kingdom of Kerry gleaned glory on many a field, when in football the green and the gold shirts forced the champions of Ireland to yield. Now brothers called Casey of Kerry, at wrestling they're surely the cream, and the bravest of all at the spin whip or fall is the famous Steve Casey from Sneem. Steve Casey brought glory to Kerry, of the champions he's surely the cream, and his fame shall be sung by the old and the young. So three cheers for Steve Casey from Sneem. When he'd beaten the champions of England and the stars of the continent too, he next took a trip o'er the ocean and came to America true. And the Irish came out in their thousands while the liner was letting off steam. And the bands they did play while the crowd roared, hooray! Three cheers for Steve Casey from Sneem. Came the Matman from Texas to Boston. Came Mazurki that brought of a boy. Came the Dusaks, the Omaha Terrors, not forgetting bold Bibber McCoy. Came Clack from Dundee who beat Dano, saying, I'll put all those Irish to dream, but was finished by Steve, who said, here by your leave is revenge for all Ireland and Sneem. When his tour of the US is over, when the champions have all fallen down, we'll all go to Coveshire to welcome the giant in the green dressing gown. We'll have bonfires at crossroads in Kerry, we'll have dining and wining, I ween, and we'll sing all the night till the morning's first light. Three cheers for Steve Casey from Sneem. I would like to sing a song now, or rather to recite it. I won't sing it. But this is a song in Irish, the Irish language, which still lives on in pockets of Ireland, and especially we have a very vibrant Gaeltacht in Kerry. And we had a wonderful team from the Gaeltacht last year who won the Kerry County Championship for the first time, and we have five or six of those players playing with our county senior team now. And when they won it on a Sunday, the next morning I got up at 7:30 in the morning, and by the time 9:30 came, I had this song composed, and I rang Radio na Gaeltachta, and I sang it at 11 o'clock, and it was broadcast at 12 o'clock, live on radio. So it's called Buitori Craeve Kiri, which means the winners of the Kerry County Championship. On Reftu Giladne are unknown of Ood Savor, on the Gideon like Spalpa Gafunavar, Skapehevi and Kill. Is on the bark and yaraltig, we glunder in our greel, a firin cadden of the Gaeltachta, Buitori Craeve Kiri. In near her green a fashka chiad, na lechra loid ra croga, ar danga feina lawrtaka, ma rhaingach fergadio. Da awas iad na stakig, vi a gas o hús gan chi, e gynne fyr na gaeltachta, Buitori Craeve Kiri. Gafairach Paul Rochelle sa chúl, mac siig mar fer cadé, sara ronan o hiravan Tomasis Marco sé. Captain Chrahúr Cuivín Brunach, is o chiantra Paul O'Queen, si ad a rhid gadeel vis a hug gafeel, Buitori Craeve Kiri. na garalt agins na tosathe, rabardus ar lech edan, o dúdach conadlo crúlig agus djéjé hugsin slán. Is dara das o cinéde, a chus go bechtis go crín, fan óor ar in na gaeltochta, bú teori chréf hirí. Is fiú versa lán da ein arawain a detil ón astráil, be lechan le bin dara o sé, ag raim is a fel gan chaim. Nir if sáru ar a hair, an chaidin a helav di hir, na lagadí a láv gudio, na bú teori chréf hirí. Na fyrionad is na rán óri ar mwechas díf gulair is de hemas brúzar ma garlt a stiúr le spridis le fair. Sean begli agus fergil treinau le he dílis ví go vaga díaf vor slaint agiv spúrtóri chref hirí. O ar da vóhar dín a gorta dú hon gús go kámin ól na tinti kanáva go búchach an kelur a fíla an tól an bjóris an leun go flúsh a chaun ins na tárni sa vúltín is óla mís a slánt an ish búrtóri chref hirí. This song is called Duchas, or The Kingdom's Green and Gold, and it's really a song about tradition, and they say that tradition, you can't box or bottle it, as I say in the song, but it's an intangible, yet very real element, and it's behind all county teams, especially in Kerry, because we've won a lot of All-Irelands, and you feel the weight of that tradition on your shoulders whenever you go out onto the field. So this tries to bring out those feelings. You say tradition counts for naught when two teams take the field. I fear you are mistaken, lad, but time will make you yield. And when your hair's as grey as mine, and the years have made you old, then you'll invoke the truth I spoke of the kingdom's green and gold. You cannot box or bottle it, nor grasp it in your hand, but pride of race and love of place inspire a love of land. Time honored is our birthright, you can never break the mold, for it's deep within the soul of us who wear the green and gold. Grey lakes and mountains soaring high, Mount Brandon's holy hill, the little church at Gallows, our language living still, the Skellig Rock stout football stock that can't be bought or sold. For our county's fame we play the game in the kingdom's green and gold. And when the battle's fiercest and our backs are to the wall, we stay alive, we can survive, we stumble but don't fall. For the spirit of our fathers and of stories yet untold, still ensure we will endure in the kingdom's green and gold. We savour Kerry victories, we salute a gallant foe, and when we lose, there's no excuse, we pack our bags and go. So raise your glass, each lad and lass, to our warriors brave and bold, who each year aspire to the Sam Maguire in the kingdom's green and gold. This year we had a wonderful breakthrough for Armagh in our All-Ireland Championship final. They won the All-Ireland title for the first year, and beat our county, the Kingdom of Kerry. And I suppose it is what 5 All-Irelands to them to beat Kerry in a final, because they say you've never made the grade until you've beaten Kerry in a final. And we wished them very well in that. A few years ago, the same thing happens, not quite the first time, but it was 80 years before Clare won an All-Ireland. And I celebrated that by writing a song for them, a ballad for the banner. In September 95, it was great to be alive when the banner won the All-Ireland Hurling Crown. After 81 long years of blood and sweat and tears, we brought the laurels home again to Clare, boys, Clare. We brought the laurels home again to Clare. Oh, saffron and blue, we would gladly die for you, like Clare's dragoons from Dunkirk to Belgrade. So let the bonfires burn bright all through the livelong night, and the memory of this day will never fade, boys, fade. The memory of this day will never fade. Rebel Cork we conquered first, then Limerick bit the dust, and the Galway men were next above the knee. But we really made our mark on the greensward of Croke Park, against Offaly in the final when we won, boys, won. Against Offaly in the final when we won. The Lohans played a leading role, with Fitzy in the goal, McMahon, Daly, Toohey and Liam Dyle, while Lolly Baker and PJ, for us they won the day. And Liam McCarthy's found a home in Clare, boys, Clare. Yes, Liam McCarthy's found a home in Clare. Mick O'Halloran, Eamon Taff, James O'Connor, Stephen Mack, O'Loughlin, Clancy, Haggerty and Lyons. They're all heroes to a man, with our trainer Gerald O'Gnan, and their praises will forevermore be sung, boys, sung. Their praises will forevermore be sung. From Bodyke to Corrifin, from Minnesota to Quinn, from Loophead up to the cross of Spancel Hill, we will drink another sup from the Liam McCarthy cup, and when it's drained we'll fill it up again, boys, fill. And when it's drained we'll fill it up again. So breathe a prayer for those who've died, who've crossed the great divide, Tommy Daly and the great Hulk Considine. They can sleep in peace tonight in victory's gleaming light. So raise up your glass and drink a toast to Clare, boys, Clare. Raise up your glass and drink a toast to Clare. 1946 was a wonderful year for Kerry when they beat Roscommon in the final. My late father, Brian McMahon, wrote a very wonderful ballad called Who Can Beat the Kingdom Sweet after that. The month it was October, aye, and 46 the year, when Kerry and Roscommon clashed to make the verdict clear. Roscommon's captain bragged before the glorious game began, today we'll beat the kingdom sweet at horse or hound or man. Then up stepped Pat Bon Brosnan from Dingle's beauteous tide. I fought, said he, with many a sea and many a raging tide, as by the blasket's foaming flank my fishing smack I ran. For who can beat the kingdom sweet for horse or hound or man? Roscommon fields they may be sweet, and soft the sheeplands there, but better far the southerns are rare than mountain air. And though our foes be sterling men and strive as heroes can, yet none may beat the kingdom sweet for horse or hound or man. I bid you men remember then the lovely hills of home, the mountains brown or Dingle Town, Valentia in the foam, the silver field and sweet Tralee, Killarney's heavenly plan. For none may beat the kingdom sweet for horse or hound or man. Then out from all the thousands leaped
a fleet Roscommon hare. His colours caught the autumn sun and floated free and fair. But then a Kerry rooster crew as only roosters can. Oh, none may beat the kingdom sweet for horse or hound or man. Then to and fro at centre field the tide of battle rolled, till Casey and Pat Kennedy roused out the green and gold. And when the final whistle blew, the cheering people ran, for none may beat the kingdom sweet for horse or hound or man. I pledge you Dano in the gap with Joe Cahan before, Pat Bourne, the Lions, and Casey Brave, who led to every score. Ted Connor and Pat Kennedy, Ned Walsh to lead the van. Oh, who can beat the kingdom sweet for horse or hound or man? The forwards too, I name them out, with Gega in the lead, Pat Garvey and Dan Kavanagh, with Falvey and O'Keefe, and lovely dark-haired Paddy Burke, who thrilled each partisan. Oh, who can beat the kingdom sweet for horse or hound or man? I pledge you now, Gus Clementall, that lively Zelton lad, who fleet as deer has gripped the sphere and drove all Ireland mad, who scored the final flaming point and crashed Roscommon's plan. For who can beat the kingdom sweet for horse or hound or man?
Well, as we said, we have lots of sports in Kerry. We have wonderful fishing in Kerry too. And this is a song, partly about, not a song rather, but a poem, partly about fishing, mostly about fishing, but also about singing. And the title is called "The River is a Crow," and it'll explain, the poem will explain itself. O'Donnell Abu and the nation once again were de rigueur for the singing classes in the national schools of the 40s. As on the last day when the sheep will be separated from the goats, the master segregated the singers from the crows. The precons receiving strict instructions to simulate singing without sound when the inspector made his annual visit. In later years, a successful professional man took me to task, complaining that my teacher father had shattered his youthful confidence by banishing him to the rookery. His bumptious manner and status in life belied the authenticity of this diagnosis. I fished the Owen Moor again today, vainly trying to fulfill a life's ambition to catch a silver salmon on the fly, and would have stuck it out till dark, but a sudden wind-driven thunderstorm swooping down from Brandon Peak drove me to seek shelter as best I could in a grove of stunted, gnarled trees, where, framed between a gowl oak, the nearby rushing stream was the only picture on TV. At first, the tumbling water's noise assumed a soothing lullaby effect, but soon the monotonic babble took on a more insidious, tuneless cadence, jangling on raw nerve ends for 2 infuriating hours while I waited for a clearance that never came. Finally, I could stand it no longer, scrambling downstream in squelchy Wellingtons to where my car was parked beside the bridge, a thorough soaking and the risk of breaking a leg eminently preferable to enduring another moment of such Chinese torture. Praise not the bard who would extol the merits of the so-called singing river. Believe you me, the river is a crow. Well, in Kerry long ago, of course, round the fire was the wonderful thing. And you had no box then. You had no TVs. You had no websites. You had no internets. But you had the art of conversation. And singing, storytelling. And this little poem, which I call Cush Tinna, comes from an incident that was related to me by a lady back in West Kerry. And it gives some idea of the family unit, which was the basis for the whole social structure in Ireland at that time, and unfortunately it's breaking down a bit. It's called Cush Tinna, beside the fire it means, and it's for Christine. It was Christine who told me the story. Sometimes on dark winter nights, long, long ago, before the ESP gave light, Mother would gather us children around the open fire, Atlantic gales hurled battering rams of wind against the western gable, a flickering oil lamp and blazing sods, threw dancing shadows on whitewashed walls. Smoke and reassuring flames soared up the craned, blackened chimney, while stories of pukas and banshees sheep-penned all nine of us into clutching, frightened huddles. Occasionally, in a magic moment, my father, shy even in the family circle, would turn his head away, put his sounding board palm up to his ear, and sing Jimmy Mavila's Store. The patchwork quilt of his song enfolded us in its warmth. Under the covers of the grace-noted melody, fear fell away to be replaced by an inexplicable family intimacy, a never-to-be-forgotten memory. Old gold, like old hay, harvested forever in the hay barn of the soul. At the other side of the hearth, tears of pride and love ran down my mother's face. Well, of course, one of the greatest footballers of all time was the inimitable Mick O'Connell of Valencia, Ireland, and I had the great privilege of playing with Mick, and the great privilege of being able to call him a very good friend to this day. And I believe Mick can be contacted on this website as well, so log into Mick on this website as well. He was a giant, he was a colossus when he was playing, and one has no idea of the adulation that the whole of Ireland had for him, and the admiration, and he was full of mystique and mystery. Being an Islander, I suppose, this added to it. And this song was made up by a friend of mine called Frank Ahern, who was a teacher in Shannon Golden and originally from Laoghaire Compaun after the 1962 All-Ireland. And I had the privilege of playing in that All-Ireland and scoring the fastest goal that was ever scored in an All-Ireland final after 34 seconds, from Mick O'Connell's boot to my fist to the back of the net. So this is the song about Mick O'Connell, by Frank Ahern. In the county Roscommon, they thought they were through. They forgot that the kingdom had hatfuls of tricks that bit 'em before 1946. And O'Connell, a lad from Valencia, the pride of the kingdom was he. And down in Killarney the plans they were made, where a ball is a ball and a spade is a spade. And with Dr. Raymond the boys did prepare for to fight on the ground, but to win in the air, with O'Connell, a lad from Valencia, the pride of the kingdom was he. Nihil Sheehy was sound, and Tim Lyons he was great, and the ball Seamus Murphy he rarely was bait. In the goals Johnny Collard he was brisk as a bee, nothing passed him that day but the lone penalty. And O'Connell, a lad from Valencia, the pride of the kingdom was he. Up the centre where often our trouble begins, with brains and with brawn strove the brave Lucy twins. When they passed to a colleague, with fist or with brogue, 'twas cleared from the wings by De Wire and Sean Oak. To O'Connell, a lad from Valencia, the pride of the kingdom was he. On the mark was Timmy Sullivan, a boy of renown. He was loved by the girls in Castle Island town. Jerry Reardon was game for a win, lose or draw, and fleet as a hare was Dan Mac from Dewar. And O'Connell, a lad from Valencia, the pride of the kingdom was he. In the corner
The kingdom had two balls of fire, but she, God rest you, you were so young to die. And Gary McMahon, so fearless and bold, found the net when the game was but 1 minute old. And O'Connell, a lad from Valencia, the pride of the kingdom was he. And now to conclude and to finish my song, here's a last line in the praise of Tom Long. When he fielded, they panicked and played tug of war, but all place kicks were lofted straight over the bar by O'Connell, a lad from Valencia. The pride of the kingdom was he.